Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, March 23rd, 2026. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. If you are listening in on Rumble or YouTube and you would like to join us live, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and join us on a Monday call live. Click on the button on top of the bar. Okay, if anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to mail. I don't think we fixed up the email yet, and I don't think we have questions fixed up yet either. So for right now, it's mail at nationallibertyalliance.org. If anyone... please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right side of a website of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. You can click on our donation tab on the top right side of a website. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading. Tonight, scripture reading is going to be on, let me see if I can find that. Okay, John chapter 1. Read by Alexander Scorby.
The Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is, who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he, of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, and bear record, that this is the Son of God. Again the next day after, John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messias, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is, by interpretation, a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.
Okay, Jen, do we have any questions tonight?
Yes, John, we have a couple questions.
Okay, we haven't been receiving any mail from questions at National Liberty Alliance yet, have we?
No.
I'm not sure that I set that up again yet, so I'll have to check into that. Before we get started, just quickly, how's things going with the bounces with you and Terry? Have you guys been able to figure things out and how we're going to approach this?
I think Terry's on. When I left her, she was working on a technique. She had to do a little programming to get it to scan a large number at a time.
Okay.
Now, John, I haven't gotten the password for the database back out. They change it every year. And I haven't gotten it yet this year.
Yeah, they're slow in responding. I guess you called them earlier today, right?
Yes, twice.
Okay. Yeah, they're slow in responding, but hopefully they'll get back to you tomorrow. All right, let me know how you make out, and if we have to do this a little bit more manually, we'll break things up into pieces. But hopefully we'll be able to work things out in the way that you're thinking of doing it. So, okay, with that, Jen, what kind of questions do we have tonight?
The first one is, I would like to share something with NLA if they are not already familiar with this subject. The entire judicial system has been involved in embezzlement on everyone who walks through their doors, both plaintiff and defendant alike. Every docket, every case is bonded and monopolized and invested. I urge anyone to look into the CRIS system, that's Court Registry Investment System. Could it possibly be the reason that hardly anyone today has success in the courts? And then he had two attachments assigned to that supporting this reality.
Right. Are they long attachments? Anything we can deal with at the moment?
Why don't we go on to the second one, and I'll dig them up, John.
Okay. All right. Well, just real quick, though, to respond a little bit of what they're saying. Yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with what he's talking about, or she. I don't know who he or she. But, you know, look, at the main problem is the Rules Enabling Act, and with that they abrogated the law of the land, literally abrogated the law of the land, literally shredded our Constitution. We talked a little bit about this last week, and I do want to talk a little more tonight about that, but we'll see where we go first of all with these questions. Okay, let's go to the next question.
When recording something within the county, can one mail something to be recorded through the mail, or is this to be done exclusively in person? Also, if attempting to record a document in person and the recorder refuses to record, can I go to a neighboring county and have them record my documents?
Yeah, absolutely. Many, many years ago, when we were thinking about making a declaration concerning ourselves, I know I did record a declaration in my county, and I know someone else in a neighboring county that couldn't do it. They rejected it in that county, and they came over to my county, and they recorded it here in my county. But as time went on, as far as recording a declaration, it's absolutely unnecessary. We're the people. They know we're the people. We're the ones that ordained and established the Constitution. We are the sovereign. They are not sovereigns. They are sovereigns outside of their authorities. But within their authority, we've given them authority. But we have not given them any sovereignty, so to speak. In other words, they are not sovereign. And ultimately, God is the ultimate sovereign, and we receive our sovereignty from Him. And of course, not in the natural law. Our sovereignty rests in our law, which is the Constitution, particularly also the Declaration of Independence, and of course the Capstone Bill of Rights. That's the big problem with these people. But as far as filing this kind of a thing, yeah, you can go to another county. And I don't know what they're trying to file. I presume it's a declaration. They don't mention, do they, Jen?
No.
Okay, probably a declaration. No, go ahead, next question.
Yeah, checking the references on the first question, one of them is 57 pages long.
We'll lay that aside.
And the other one, I guess, is longer. It's larger. It's 8 megs.
Mm.
And there are a bunch of tables and that sort of thing. It's nothing you can really read and comment unless you have it in front of you.
Okay.
Okay, that was the only two questions then, John.
Maybe I'll try to take a look at that, see if there's anything I can say about that maybe next week. And that came in through mail at National Liberty Alliance, correct?
It came in as a question to me, I think.
Okay.
It didn't come in through mail, no.
Okay. All right,
I can forward it. I'll forward it to you.
Forward that and make sure the attachment is forward. That's what I'll take a look at. I'll see if I can. You know, someone sent me something, and, you know, I can only read so much because we have so many other things that's going on. I mean, I'm really very, very busy. But these long papers, it's very difficult for me to find the time to read, but maybe I can skim through it and see once what I think. All right. Okay, hopefully we'll have our mail straightened out by next week. We are still working on that, and hopefully maybe we'll set up the questions mail again so that it'll kind of be separated a little bit from the mail that we've been using. Last week, I went through a list of different things. We're heading back into the Supreme Court, the United States Supreme Court. We have to work our way up to it, and so it's going to take a little time. And some time is probably good for a lot of us. So a lot of people have attached cases on our paperwork. We have hundreds of cases, actually, that we worked with over the years. And we've been stonewalled on every single one of them. They just don't want to answer the people. And so we sent a presentment to the United States Supreme Court. They sent it back. We sent it back again a couple of weeks later. They sent it back again. And they told us that we had to go through the process down in federal courts, which didn't make any sense. There is a process to go directly, and we had a cover sheet on this. There is a process that we can go directly to the United States Supreme Court without having to go through the federal district court and work our way up through the appellate and then eventually into the Supreme Court. And we had an extraordinary paper that we were filing from the perspective of the grand jury, and we were filing a presentment concerning treason. And over time, we indicted the entire federal judiciary. We filed our papers, and again, more ignoring. They ignore everything. They didn't return that paper. Nevertheless, we had filed a lot of papers in the court, and they haven't returned any of the papers that we had filed, of course, but they refused hearing the cases. They refused responding. They just refused because they think they don't have to. So anyway, I put together a short video, and I'm going to play that tonight. It is almost, it's going to cover a lot of stuff we covered last week, but this is more of a formal thing. I wanted to get out there, get this information out in there. We got it up on YouTube, and we got it up on Rumble. Hopefully people will go to our Rumble page or our YouTube page. You can find that on the right-hand side of our website if you come down. Let's see. You'll see our Rumble page and our YouTube page. There's our Rumble. Okay, and we do have our YouTube page, I believe, here. If not, I'll have to put it up here. I do know we have the Rumble. Subscribe to our Rumble channel. There it is on the Rumble. But I'll double-check and make sure that I have YouTube up there. But in any event, you can go out to YouTube, and once you get out to the YouTube, you put a forward slash and put National Liberty Alliance with nothing in between the words, and you'll find our webpage. And the video that we put up there that we really want to try to make go viral is a video on treason, and that only the people can save the republic. So it's Treasonous Courts, and it lays out what we plan to do. We're looking for anybody that wants to attach a particular case to this. Now, we're not going to fight your case, but we're really going to really bring that case forward, and it also becomes evidence. We have hundreds of cases that we're going to attach. Not that we're going to attach the full cases, but we'll just basically have reference. We set up a... Let's see if I can find this. It should be on our front page right on top. We set up a page where people can click on and file an affidavit for the Supreme Court. So you can join our U.S. Supreme Court case concerning a denial of due process. And we'll be putting more information, more details out here soon. And we'll probably put it right here. Or we'll put another link, depending on how much information. But I don't know. We'll see what we do. But right now, if you click on that link, this is the layout of the affidavit we want people to fill out if they want to present their case with our presentment. And the key point to all of our problems is denial of due process. You don't get denial of due process in any court in America. It doesn't exist anymore. You also don't get the law of the land anymore. That doesn't exist anymore either. We're under civil law. And the Bill of Rights has been trashed. They don't recognize that anymore. They play word games, but they know what they're doing. They're guilty of treason. Every judge, from my opinion, they should be in jail. Some of them should end up on the end of a short rope, but that's up to a jury to decide, of course, but that's my opinion. They have destroyed so many people, so many lives, and they put a lot of people in jail, through their tax courts. That is unlawful, of course. And it is what's called debtor's prison. Done away with that a long, long time ago. But they resurrected it because they feel they could. And they just made it up, and I think we'll be laying that out very specifically in our case. And again, we're not asking the United States Supreme Court to do anything. We're not asking them. We're telling them what they need to do. And if they refuse to do it, then they too are guilty of treason. And I think it's going to be made quite clear after you listen to the video that we're going to play right now. And once we get the paper together to file, I think I can have it all together in 2 weeks. So once that happens, we'll read the main part of the paper. We'll not be able to read the entire paper, but we'll put links to the entire paper because it's going to be hundreds of pages. And definitely well over 100, maybe 200 or just under. But the attachments will be huge also. The affidavits, we want only one-page affidavits. And the key part of the affidavit is really, you know, you give the basic information and what denial that they had given you. For instance, you'd have your case number, the name of the court, the address of the court, your county, whether it's a civil or a criminal case, the date that was filed, who the plaintiffs are, who the defendants are, and the case disposition. And then, you know, really very shortly for the rest of this page is to lay out what unalienable rights were you denied. Because that's the key, and that's why anything, the federal court can only answer those problems or those situations. They are not interested in, nor should they be interested in, the actual case itself that's happening maybe on a village court, a town court, a county court, a state court. They really don't care, and they shouldn't care. The concern is the denial of due process. That's the only thing that counts. If that court does not have the power or the authority to hear that case, or if they did hear that case and required to take that case on when they didn't have the authority to take that course, that on the jurisdictions, they have to have both subject matter and personam jurisdiction. And they do not have personam jurisdiction in any of these courts, and that includes the state court. But reality is the way one perceives it. So right now, the reality is that they have power and authority because people believe they do. But the fact of the matter is they don't, and we're going to make that crystal, crystal clear in our paperwork, and I think maybe we're going to make that pretty crystal clear tonight as we look at this video that we posted up on both YouTube and Rumble. And after that, we'll take questions and comments. Right now, the queue is open, so if anybody wants to get into the queue, it's a *6 and a 1 if you're on a phone. And if you're on a app or a browser, there should be a button to be able to push to get into the queue. So let's start this video here. As we work our way up to the United States. We read in the Constitution for the United States of America that we, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, we do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. In an act of treason, the United States Supreme Court, in 1938, under the Rules Enabling Act, abrogated the law of the land and replaced it with civil law. We read in Article 6 of the Constitution that this Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all treaties made in which shall be made, under the authority of the United States, shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of the state, to the contrary, notwithstanding. The United States Supreme Court, in 1938, committed an act of treason. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury is comprised of 50 grand juries, each unified amongst the counties within their respective states. All 50 states have unified nationally as an assembly of thousands of people in the name of We the People to suppress through our courts of justice subverts acting under the color of law within our government. National Liberty Alliance supports and sponsored the organizing of the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. On October 10, 2024, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury served a presentment upon the United States Supreme Court. The American Bar Association doorkeepers intercepted our service and returned our presentment. Weeks later, we served the presentment again with a cover letter making clear that this was a presentment from We the People, a grand jury. But the seditious ABA doorkeepers intercepted our service and returned our presentment a second time. On January 15, 2025, the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury filed with the United States Supreme Court an unprecedented indictment against the federal judiciary for treason, for covertly changing our natural law courts of justice into chancery courts, operating under Roman civil law. Whereas again, the American Bar Association doorkeepers intercepted our service and returned our indictment. For the aforesaid reasons, we will file our papers in the lower federal courts and pay their extortion fee as we work our way up to the United States Supreme Court. Because the lower courts are unable to address our case, we estimate it will take about 6 months to get to the United States Supreme Court's door. Between now and then, we need to draw a critical mass, and that is up to the people that see this video to make it go viral and start bringing this issue into the social medias. Because we have been sending presentments and the book Governed by Consent to President Trump and his administration and a few congressmen and senators, and we have noticed lately that he has been escalating the issue of judicial corruption in the media, we believe this case is ripe. And with critical mass and President Trump and his administration, pressure and exposure of the United States Supreme Court's subversion will force the courts to do the just things and return our courts back to we the people. We have hundreds of cases that we will be attaching as evidence of subversion and conspiracy against the federal judiciary and the U.S. Supreme Court, crimes of denying we the people's due process. Anyone who has a case in the federal court, state court, family court, probate court, county court, city court, town court, or village court, and would like to attach it with our presentment, go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our affidavit for U.S. Supreme Court to join our U.S. Supreme Court case concerning denial of due process. More details soon. We will also teach all involved how to resurrect your case to be heard in a court of justice. More info and links in the description below. The Constitution defines the law of the land as natural law and equity under Article 3, Section 2, ordained by we the people, as the supreme law of the land found under Article 6. Equity being legislative law to govern government agencies and their agents and interstate commercial activities, and not we the people. Whereas the limitation of their authority is clearly defined under Article 1, Sections 8 and Section 9. Whereas the rules of nature and nature's God, which was abrogated by the U.S. Supreme Court by rules, were to govern both law and equity. Natural law is simply common sense governed by the doctrine of the king of our natural law courts, namely Jesus Christ, found in the Gospels. Whereas the 12 jurors, also known as the tribunal, being the king's bench, is to administer their decision by his will, not the American Bar Association judges. Whereas the judges in every state, including the United States Supreme Court, are bound by the law of the land and are to guarantee natural law republic under Article 6. The United States Supreme Court, being subject to our natural law republic, must obey the sovereign, also known as we the people, or be impeached for bad behavior under Article 3, Section 1. And if we cannot achieve a Republican Congress and a senator and Senate that will exercise the law and the will of the people via the upcoming midterm elections, then we will indict them for treason. The Bible and prayer in schools. In 1963, the Bible and prayer was outlawed in the classroom, which marked the beginning of moral decay in America. In 1789, Congress and President George Washington passed and signed into law of the United States Annotated Code, Article 3, which states, "Religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged." George Washington said, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, said, "The great enemy of the salvation of man, in my opinion, never invented a more effective means of limiting Christianity from the world than by persuading mankind that it was improper to read the Bible at schools." Psalm 33, verse 12. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." The following Bible verse is on the Liberty Bell. Leviticus 25, verse 10. Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Treason. Every judge who denies the people due process in a court of law is guilty of treason. Judges have no more right to decline the exercise of jurisdiction which is given than to usurp that which is not given. The one or the other would be treason to the Constitution. Cohen versus Virginia. And seditious conspiracy under 18 U.S.C. Subsection 2384. The courts have conspired to overthrow the supreme law of the land by forcing countless millions of people by judicial machinery to prevent the execution of due process. The American Bar Association is guilty of advocating the overthrow of government under 18 U.S.C. Subsection 2385, which states, "Whoever knowingly and willfully advocates, teaches, prints, publishes, edits, issues, circulates, sells, distributes, and publicly displays printed matter advocating, advising, or teaching the duty, necessity, desirability, or propriety of overthrowing or destroying the law of the land, also known as the Constitution, and thereby the destruction of 50 state governments and the United States government, is guilty of advocating the overthrow of our government, because they teach that the law of the land has been abrogated and replaced by Roman civil law." According to the Federal Judicial Center in 1938, pursuant to its alleged authority under the Rules Enabling Act of 1934, the Supreme Court enacted uniform rules and procedure for the federal courts. Among the changes wrought by the rules were the elimination of the federal courts' separate jurisdiction over suits in equity. Under the new rules, suits in equity and suits in common law were grouped together under the term civil law. thereby subjecting common law to the will of the states. The American Bar Association controlled United States Supreme Court, and the American Bar Association controlled federal judiciary. Via Rule 2 states and upholds that there is one form of action, the civil action, thereby committing treason and are guilty of seditious conspiracy by advocating and teaching the overthrow of our government. They are all guilty of insurrection against the law of the land under 18 U.S.C. subsection 2383. When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is the people's unalienable right, it is our duty to throw off such judges and to provide new judges for our future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these states, and such is now the necessity which constrains us to alter our subverted courts and return back under the law of the land. The history of this present federal judiciary is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having indirect object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid sovereign people. The American Bar Association controlled U.S. Supreme Court via the 1934 rules have closed our courts of justice, also known as natural law courts. They have changed our courts of justice to chancery courts. They have abrogated the law of the land, claiming we are under Roman law, also known as Babylonian law, under the name of civil law via Rule 2. They abolished the rules of common law, thereby removing common sense coupled with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. They abrogated the sovereign's writs of quorum nobis. They've abrogated the sovereign's writs of quorum vobis. They've abrogated the sovereign's writs of auditor querela. They ignored our writs of habeas corpus. They ignore our writs of quo warrantos. They ignore our petitions for redress of grievances. They abrogated the fully informed, free and independent grand jury to be oriented by the people. They abrogated the fully informed, free and independent pedigree to be orientated by the people. They abrogated Amendment 1 by making law from the bench forbidding prayer in school. They abrogated Amendment 1 by making law from the bench forbidding the Bible in school. They abrogated Article 5 destroying the balance of power that denied the equal suffrage in the Senate via the repugnant 17th Amendment, a repugnant law that they had the power to nullify. They abrogated Article 1, Section 9, Clause 4, that denied direct tax via the repugnant 16th Amendment, a repugnant law they had the power to nullify. They infringed upon our Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. They abrogated the original 13th Amendment that prevented bar judges and bar lawyers from holding positions of honor in our courts. They provided for debtors' prisons via the federal tax courts controlled by the foreign banksters for the unlawful tax schemes under the pretense of a fictional interpretation of Article I courts that does not exist. They changed common law to mean judicial comedy. They have refused obedience to the Constitution. They have replaced our unalienable rights gifted by our Creator with privileges via the civil law. They have turned over control of our courts and the writing of repugnant rules as law to a foreign entity known as the bar. They maintain status quo rulings in opposition to the law. They sent hither swarms of officers to harass the people and eat out our substance in traffic courts, village courts, town courts, county courts, and state courts. They transport us to jurisdictions unknown to be tried for pretended offenses. They have concealed and seized control of the people's right of government by consent. They have combined with others to subject us to jurisdictions foreign to our Constitution. They have given assent to acts of pretended legislation. They assault innocent people with trumped-up charges and send SWAT teams to destroy people and put their families in jeopardy. They have fundamentally altered the forms of our government. They have declared themselves invested with power to legislate via rules. They have relinquished state government powers while waging war against patriotic people. They deny our Fourth Amendment rights. They deny our Fifth Amendment rights. They deny our Sixth Amendment rights. They deny our Seventh Amendment rights. They deny our Eighth Amendment rights. They deny our Tenth Amendment rights. They deny God's blessings of liberty, whose justice will not sleep forever. They have shredded our Constitution. In conclusion, only the people can save our republic. The question is, will you? You have a republic if you can keep it. Benjamin Franklin. If a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Thomas Jefferson. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. The Constitution cannot defend itself. That's your duty. Make this video go viral. NationalLibertyAlliance.org. See the description below to find out how you can support us and get involved. Okay, I'm not going to play this video because we've already taken up too much time with the video. People can copy, if you can see this up here. I think what we're going to do is once we get our email going again, and we do hope we're going to be doing that in the next few days, then we will send out, when Jan sends out his next weekly letter, then he'll include this particular video. This is a video that everyone should see. It really lays out how they destroyed America, how they removed things from our history. And so it's a very powerful powerful video. But again, you could probably find this. This is YouTube, I believe. Yeah, YouTube. You could probably find this by just searching the year 1913, Reset America, hyphen, and almost nobody knows what changed. Okay, so you could probably find it just by, writing those words into the search bar on YouTube, and you get this video. But we will have it included in our next newsletter. That'll be going out next Sunday. We do believe we'll have our email back up and going by then. And I'm going to be sending some email out also in between, more information on the case, what we're doing. And we need everyone's help, on this. And we'll add this video also when I send that information out, and we'll also add the video we just played. But people really need to get this message out. We're not going to take back our courts unless enough people understand the problem and it becomes realized that a case like this has gone before the Supreme Court, because we will get it up there. We'll be copying President Trump and his administration. We had copied President Trump and his administration on everything we've been doing for quite a few years now. So the presentments that went in to the Supreme Court, the indictments that went into the Supreme Court, we copied President Trump with. We also copied, of course, a list of all of the cases that they just ignore. We've put in a lot of habeas corpuses. I'm thinking we put in maybe 100. But we put in quite a few of them in any event, and they've ignored every single one of them. This is a tyrant judiciary, and anybody that's been in the courts knows it. They know that there are major problems in the courts. They know that there is no justice in the courts. We need to define that, and that's what this video has done. And this is not a complete list, by the way, that I had in this video. I've got other things that they have done that we're going to add into this video and attach with hundreds of cases as evidence showing that this is a conspiracy across the entire federal judiciary. Because what they do in Montana, they do in California, New York, Texas, New Jersey, up in the New England states. It doesn't matter where you are, no matter what federal district you go into, they all do the same thing. And that proves conspiracy. And that's the main reason why we've been sending a lot of cases, trying to assist people to get their homes back, help people to get out of jail by doing habeas corpuses, and many other things, but mostly those two issues particularly. But we've got some other cases we attached. And again, anybody has any case that they have that they'd like to attach, you know, go up and fill out that paper, a one-page affidavit, which gives the information and location of the court case. Now, once we get through the, and again, if we get enough people, you know, if this video goes viral and we get people discussing this on social media, and of course we're going to get the president's and his administration's attention to this, as we've been doing for years now, and we get enough focus on this case, and people are reading it to see, and they should become angered. People who don't go into the courts have no clue how bad it really is. You do not have a constitution in our courts anymore. You do not have a Bill of Rights in our courts anymore. You do not have a court of justice. All of these juries, whether it be the grand jury or the petit jury, they're all stacked. When a person goes into court, if it's a criminal case, then they really got a problem because the judge is against them, the prosecutor's against them, the jury's against them because they stack the jury, and we'll be describing how they stack that jury. We've described it in the past, but we'll be adding it onto this case, how they stack the jury, and they get their guilty plea all the time. Okay, and so you know, again, they have destroyed our courts of justice. There is no court of justice. You don't have due process. You know, in their rules, they decide what evidence you're going to be able to bring in. They put a criminal case against you, and you got all this evidence to prove your innocence. And before the court case even starts, all this evidence has to be produced and run through the process, and so that everybody knows what's going on. So then you get in before a jury and make your arguments, and you have your arguments back and forth, and you lay out your evidence. Well, judges constantly throw out evidence. They reject it. They deny it. They say you can't bring it in. And this is happening all the time, and you can't defend yourself, and you find yourself in jail. Of course, they make you the offer. They scare the heck out of you by telling you, hey, you know, you're going to go to jail for 20 years, but, you know, I can get you 3 years, you know. And a lot of people are innocent and go to jail and do their 3 years because they don't want to go to jail for 20 years. So, anyway, those people who are not in the courts, have no experience in the courts, this is what's going on. And we will present this, all this evidence, before the United States Supreme Court's door. We will bring it to the door of the United States Supreme Court. But it's up to the people to be banging on that door. And they bang on that door by getting this to go viral, number one, to support us financially, because it does cost money to go through the court system. It's not going to cost us millions and millions of dollars. You know, the average case that goes up before the Supreme Court is between $400,000 to $1 million. That's where the range is. That's what they charge these people. You know, all these lawyers, they just make a killing out of this whole thing. And, of course, you know, a lot of money goes into the courts because they're paying all of the fees to go in there, which, again, is also unlawful. How is it that we pay for justice? Why do they need our money? That whole process was set up for fictions. If you're a corporation, you want to use the courts, then yes, you have to pay a fee, okay, because you're not a person. You're not one of the people, okay? But people don't pay fees. Why should we pay the fees? We pay their salary. We paid for the building. We pay for the electric and the computers and all the people working in that building. And we pay for all the process and the prosecutor. We pay for it all. Why do they take money from us? And a lot of people can't afford it, especially people that are on limited incomes, you know. They can't afford to pay this money. And it's a problem, a major problem. And if you go in as a pauper, and you try to get into that system, it takes you months to get through the process just to get your papers filed. And, you know, you can beg, you can ask, you can do whatever you want to try to get yourself a trial by jury, and you're not going to get it. If it's a criminal case, they might give it to you. If it's done down in in the lower courts, a lot of times they put people into jail without even an indictment, okay? And more often than not even a jury. So you could ask for a jury till you turn blue, and they're not going to give it to you, okay? Once you get up into the state courts and the federal courts, now they got to stack the juries because they're going to have to give it to you if it's a criminal case. But they try to settle with you and just put you in jail for as long as they can, and they get away with it. They also do what's called diesel therapy, especially to the patriots. If people don't know what that is, we'll be describing that in the case also. And also the treatments of the people, especially patriots, how they treat patriots in prison. It's a horror story, a real horror story. Only the people can fix this problem. Only the people can save America, save the republic. Okay? Trump's doing a great job. He can set the stage for us and give it to us, but the people have to take it. They have to understand how to have government by consent. They have to get involved locally. It's your duty to give back to a nation that you have liberty in. We need to reset the republic, bring back liberty, bring back the Constitution. And then we need to protect it. You know, we need to make sure we put statesmen into office. And that's all done. And we need to take out those people who violate their oaths out of office. We could do that through recall. We could remove anyone out of office within 90 days once we, the people, decide to do so. It's a 90-day process. It's called recall. And we teach people how to do that. You know, we teach people how to go through this whole process of building committees of safety. Right under here, start a committee of safety. Just click on that button and follow the breadcrumb trails and get a committee of safety going in your county, or maybe there is one already. First, check our directory and come down. Just click on the directory. As soon as you get to that page, you'll come down to your state, for instance. And let's see, I'll just click on New York. Really, we can click on any state, but I'll click on New York. Okay. And we have, these are the committees of safety we have going in these particular counties: Broome County, Dutchess County, Manhattan, Niagara, Rensselaer, Suffolk County, Wayne County. And these are the people of contacts that are putting it through the process. Unfortunately, sometimes people start the process and they fall away, they fall asleep. So anybody could pick up on this thing and push it along. But if your county isn't in here and you can't connect with someone in your county, then you come in and just sign in and start a committee of safety, get it going. Learn how to take control of local governments. Learn how to take control of the school districts, to require them to bring to our children a good curriculum. And learn how to take people out of office. Learn how to take control of your senator. Unfortunately, the 17th Amendment gave the election of senators to the people. It belongs to the state. We need to return them back to the state. But nevertheless, you know, you have your congressmen, and if they're not representing you and they're not obeying the Constitution, then we need to get rid of them. We'll teach you how to do that. We have handbooks for this purpose. Right under the Starter Committee of Safety, click on Handbooks, Videos, and Tools, and you'll find all the information you need to create a Committee of Safety, step by step. We did a bunch of short videos. Most of these videos are like 20 minutes long. And it lays out the different subcommittees you have. You know, the government by consent really is the whole committee process. Committees of safety, committee of safety charter. You need a charter. We teach you how to do a charter. Committee of Safety resolutions. We teach how to do resolutions and put it all together. Committee of Safety Educational Committee, the Political Committee, the Judicial Committee. And we have all of these handbooks and PowerPoints and videos and PDFs and Microsoft Words and all kinds of information, and how people can set up seminars in their county to introduce the people in your county to these committees of safety. You know, you go to gun clubs, you go to different various organizations in your county, and you invite them to, a seminar. And you can lay out a whole seminar. Usually on a Saturday is the best time to do it. And a good seminar will go about 4 hours. There's a lot of information to share. But people need to do this. And if they don't do this, then guess what? We don't deserve a republic. As Jefferson said, if people expect to be ignorant and free, because people don't know how to have government by consent. You know, Trump could give us the government back, but people don't know how to have government by consent. I speak to myself first. I didn't know how to have government by consent, but through research, we put it all together. Now we know how to have government by consent. We know how to take control of these people. But it's up to you. It's up to the people to do this, because the Constitution cannot protect itself. All right, again, we're going to go move into questions now, but everybody, you know, we need money to do this. Anybody that wants to put a case in, then I strongly suggest, maybe we'll make it a requirement that you take the course. So we have the course, Court Access in the Common Law. It's a 90-hour course, and it teaches people on how to work through the due process of the court, how a court system works, and how to get your papers together in the different forms and the processes of discovery and all the things you need to know on how to go in and build and fight a case. And we will probably do something special when we're coming close to the Supreme Court. Maybe we'll do something special with those people who have cases, work with them to assist them. But between now and then, you need to be able to know how to represent yourself, how to take care of your own business in the court, how to write your papers, how to move it through the process, okay? But the key part of this whole thing is the fact that they denied you due process because you didn't have a court of justice. There isn't a court of justice found anywhere in America. Challenge anyone to find one. I haven't been able to find one, and I've been doing this for quite some time. But in any event, there is no court of justice. You've been denied due process. They're all under civil law and their rules, and that in itself, rules, and other than natural law rules. Okay, any rule made by man, any law made by man, lacks due process. That's the fact. And everybody, if you were prosecuted in a criminal case, then they use civil law against you. And again, like I said, they stack the jury. And a lot of people in the lower courts, you know, going down into the village courts, even down in the town courts, and even the county courts more often than not, you don't get a trial jury. The judge does it all. He's the guy. You can ask until you're blue in the face, you're not going to get it. They maybe give you a six-man jury, male or female, but a six-man jury. And that's unlawful because it has to be 12. Okay, let's take some questions. Again, I hope everybody... hit the wrong button here. Let me not do the wrong thing. Hang on a second. Okay, Q&A, Q. Okay. Again, let's get this viral. Let's get this, let's get it up on, out into whatever social media. Get this video out into social media everywhere you can. And get some conversation going on it. Get some excitement. Invite them to our Monday night meeting. Invite them to our website. And again, we'll be putting together the case. And I think 2 weeks I'll be able to have the case together. And particularly the main part of the case, again, we'll probably have 12 to 15 pages, which will be the nuts and bolts of the case, or shall I say the introduction to the case and laying out what the case is about and all of the violations. But we will have lots of memorandums of law that will really bring all the necessary information to support what every point we're making. It'll be supported by a memorandum of law, and also, law the way it was when we had law. You know, a lot of Supreme Court rulings that were very good. Our founding fathers, their quotes and statements concerning the law, the Constitution, the the conversation, for the creation of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence, but particularly the Federalist Papers, which really brought to us the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. But the Declaration of Independence lays the foundation of our law. Our law is the laws of nature and of nature's God. And even equity, okay? Equity is legislative law. It's also referred to as positive law, okay? But equity in a common law republic, equity must be under the common law rules, okay? Not the rules of man, because that's who we are as a people. That's what we laid out as the foundation of our law in the Declaration of Independence. We also laid it out to some degree, of course, in the preamble to the Constitution, where, again, they violated the, you know, we had told them, and let me just read this, okay? This puts out six directives. Anything that government does, they must adhere to at least one or more of these directives when they're doing whatever it is that they're doing that we've given them powers and authorities to do. And I would guess that 90% of what they do is unlawful. And I don't think that's an exaggeration at all. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, that's point one. Purpose of this Constitution is to form a more perfect union. Establish justice. They've destroyed our justice. Ensure domestic tranquility. We don't have tranquility in our lives. They're constantly coming out. They just never leave us alone. Provide for the common defense. Promote for the general welfare. Well, they want to promote for the general welfare of illegal aliens. Secure the blessings of liberty. That's the key. Secure the blessings. Liberty is a blessing. Comes from God. God's the only one that blesses us with these things. And they are to secure that. And clearly they have not secured that, especially in the courts. Secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. We do ordain and establish. Kings ordain. We are the ordainers. We are the sovereign. We, the people, ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America. So they violated right there in at least three of these. We'll talk about the courts now. At least three of these requirements, three of these directives, they have violated, trampled upon, discarded, denied. And they throw us out of their courts, unless they want to keep us in their courts so we can go to jail. It's the only time they want us in their courts. You can't go up against the status quo. Okay, take our first caller here. Let me hit the button if I could. Looks like Jay Kong. What state you're from? What's your first name?
Are you asking me or?
Yeah, you got the mic. It's open. What's your first name? What state you're from?
I'm from California. My name is Joe.
Hey, Joe. You got the mic.
How are you, sir?
Doing good. Thank you. Yourself?
Good. My question is about I'm filing a suit, an eviction suit in San Francisco, California, and I've challenged the jurisdiction of the rent board. I've sent them two bills and they never responded. I filed liens against them, and I've sent all of this to the courts already. When I finally pitched it out, I sent them all my paperwork already. So now, if the judge files an order, so I followed a Bill Thornton's method where when I filed my case, I filed as one of the people of California in this court of record, right? So my question is, if the judge files an order and I vacate his order, if I vacate it, once I vacate his orders, can I file with a proposed order? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, again, if you're in court, did you ask for a trial by jury?
What's that?
Are you the plaintiff or the defendant?
I'm the plaintiff.
Okay. Being the plaintiff, you open the court of record. You know. Unfortunately, they don't even understand what a court of record is. Okay, they think a court of record is a court that keeps a record. They don't understand what it really means. You know, you go into Black's law, you go into Beauvoir's law, and it explains very clearly. A court of record is a court that proceeds according to the common law, the natural law, the law of the land. And but they kind of just, first of all, they teach lawyers in school. Number one, that's what a court of record is, a court that keeps a record. I've heard it so many times, of course it's a court of record, it keeps a record. I mean, that's their thinking, that's what they're taught. Again, that's subverting our Constitution. They're also taught that comedy is common law. Okay, comedy is trial court decisions, which a lot of them is just garbage. Okay, but anyway... they make the law up in the trial court decisions, and then they apply it as law. That's what they call common law. But we're not under, you know, when I make my argument, I talk about natural law, okay? Natural law is the law is defined in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature and of nature's God. And legislators are not God. So they cannot legislate, they can't make rules because they don't have that power or authority. But anyway, they really don't understand all that. But you still want to open up a court of record. But the key thing is you want to put that you demand trial by jury. That's what you want to put in. And then you have to build your case, and you got to be able to, you know, give that case, you know, to the jury and convince the jury of your position. and so... We teach in our law class, we have a 90-hour law class, we teach there that what you need to do is really learn how to use the PowerPoint, because it's really good to have a PowerPoint. It keeps people's attention, it keeps them awake, and if you put a few little things in there, pictures and the different things, you know, and the way the words come out into you know, at point to point to point, you know, they appear on a page as you go by. It keeps the jury awake, number one. Number two, they're hearing it and they're seeing it. Okay, so you can really build a good case by PowerPoint. And so people should learn how to use PowerPoint. It is pretty simple. You just play around with it. You'll figure it out. But there are lots. We also make links in there where you can go into YouTube to learn PowerPoint. I mean, you could just go to YouTube and just put in, you know, how to use PowerPoint. And you'll get all kinds of things that will come in, you know, and give you. And you could start, you know, going through that process there. But the thing is what you're doing, yeah, the judge does not, if you opened up a court of record, you see, unfortunately, people yield to the court by not arguing or making the point to the case. You don't want to look for an order to vacate. You want to challenge the court and make the point that this is supposed to be a trial by jury. And therefore, summary judgments, which is what they're doing, okay, is making summary judgments throughout your case. They do this all day long, every day in all courts. It's all unlawful. That lacks due process. That's the point. They don't have that power or authority. Their only purpose in a court of law, because that's what you're opening up, a court of law, which is a court of record, which is a trial by jury, which operates under the law of the land, which is natural law, the laws of nature and of nature's God, okay. At that point, they do not have any power or any authority to make any decisions on the case. Their only purpose there, if a judge is in the courtroom, he's supposed to put on his magistrate cap, because all judges are magistrates. And all he does is act as a traffic cop to keep things moving along and then execute the will of the jury and over to the sheriff for execution for whatever it is. And that's how it's supposed to be. You need to learn that.
For red court, they don't have jury by trial by jury. They have jury trials. They don't do that.
In rental court, are you in New York City? Where are you at? I forget.
San Francisco.
Okay. Maybe it's the same thing as New York City. They have literally just, it's all just, that's exactly what they call it, I think they call it rental court, or they call it landlord's court, or whatever the court, something like that. Yeah. But it's all about rentals. I mean, that whole thing is lax due process. You don't belong in that court. You can do what's called a denial of due process, move it into the federal court for denial of due process. They can't argue the case there. They don't want to argue the case in the federal court because they know that they can't hear the details of the case. But if you're making the point that you are being denied due process and that this court is incapable of giving you due process, therefore your wherefore clause is that this court needs to cease and desist.
Well, I haven't gone to court. My court date is coming up on the 2nd. So I'm wondering if once I go to court and the court files a verdict against me, I'm seeing if I can just
what do you know about filing papers in the courts? Do you know anything about the federal courts? Do you know how to file a denial of due process in a federal court? If you file a denial of due process in the federal courts, then that court needs to stop. Can't do nothing until that case is done in the federal court. The problem is the 2nd is next week. I mean, you don't have much time. You have to know how to do the paper. And again, this should serve as an example to everyone that's listening here that are not in court, never been in court, don't think that they have to worry about being in court. Trust me, you do have to worry about being in court one day. You know, in your lifespan, you'll probably end up in court at least once, okay? And it may even be a criminal case. You better be able to deal with that problem because lawyers will only sell you out, okay? That's all they'll do. They're part of the gang. They're on the side, really, with the judge and the prosecutor. They're not interested so much in anything other than money. They just want your money, and they'll keep charging you, billing you, and billing you, and billing you, and billing you, and then you go to jail, you know, if it's a criminal case. Or you lose if it's a civil case. You know, they don't care. But the thing is, this needs to be taught in school, okay? Children need to know, by the time they come out of 12th grade, they should know exactly how the court systems work, you know, from the lowest court going down to the village court all the way up to the federal court. You know, they need to understand how that works. They need to understand what due process is and how to go about filing their own papers. And, you know, children could learn this, especially when they get into high school. They're well capable of learning these things. And they need to be able to take care of their own business. And there are two reasons why they don't teach that in school. Number one, you got to keep the slaves ignorant. Okay, we're slaves. We've been enslaved to these people. We've been living in a fantasy and a fiction all of our lives. It's being exposed now. But that's the first problem there is they want to keep us ignorant. Okay, the second thing is you're robbing, they feel that you're robbing the lawyers because you don't need lawyers no more. You know, it might be a good idea, especially if it's a criminal case and if it's a case going up against the status quo and it's big and complicated, it might be idea to hire a lawyer to assist you, to give you some direction. Check out your papers, see what they think, you know. I mean, you can use a lawyer for certain things and only use them occasionally, whenever you think you have to use them. But you should be able to run your own case and take care of your own business. They'll say only a silly person. Remember, they use different words, but I'm trying to think what it might be. But in any event, you know, only a silly person's going to go in and defend themselves. You need to get a lawyer. Well, look, nobody knows your case better than you, okay? If it's a criminal case, then, maybe, you know, it depends on what's going on. You definitely would want a lawyer with you, unless you're really good at this and you're spending time in the courts and you know how things work and you're used to articulating your case, you know how to present the case, and you know all of the facets of the court, well, then you don't need a lawyer at all because then you understand it all. But generally, it doesn't hurt to have a lawyer for, you know, to get some advice, thoughts, and ideas. But you do have a dilemma because you only got a few days and you don't know how to do these things. And people listening in, don't find yourself in this situation. You know, our course, you can find it. It's right on our front page. Let me get over to our front page, the welcome page. And it's right up on the top, okay? Affordable Court Access in the Common Law course. You click here to sign up, okay? On this page, we give you a lot of information on what this course is about. It's a 90-hour course. It costs $125. If you go to college to get this course, let's see, we wrote it up here. You know, a 90-hour course, if you were to go to college, it's 4 credits. Each credit costs you about 20, depends on where you're going to college, but about $2,600 per credit. So I think that works out to be about $13,000 to go to course. They give you a 60-hour course. I got to correct this because this law course that they, in class time and course, is not $94,000. That's if you take all of their courses, you know, you become a lawyer, you know, contracts, learning about contracts and all kinds of different other things. People just need to know due process, how it works, how to file a case, and you defend yourself with the facts. It's that simple. But if you're going to get into other things, you know, like contract law and different things of that nature, then it's going to cost more. I thought I corrected this, but I haven't. I'll go back and correct as soon as I can. But the point is on this page, it'll give you information of what this course is about. And we give the first 3 hours, I think it is, which is the first part of the course for free. So you can click on this, watch the video, and you'll see how the course runs, and you'll be able to make a good decision whether you want to take this course or not. So the first 3 hours, you can just go in, and we cover, you know, democracy versus the republic, law and equity, America's natural law republic, the 10 foundational self-governing truths. America was founded upon Christianity, the sovereign citizen movement, the right to practice law, how they abrogated the law of the land. I mean, it goes on and on and on. We have a lot of information, and we give you causes of action, what your defenses are, motions, how to make motions, lots of different forms, memorandums of law. We're always putting out more memorandums of law, rules of the court, which really we want the rules of common law. We'll accept any rule that they have, that they bring up. If it's in alignment with the common law, then we'll accept the law, the rule. But other than that, we'll deny it. We give you how to make an appeal, how to do enforcement. We've got some case examples and just a lot of information in this course. And like I said, a course like this will run you about $13,000 in college course, and it would be, they have a 60-hour course. We have a 90-hour course. We teach common law. They don't teach common law. So, but the big battle in courts is battling to get justice, and there are no courts of justice, so you're going to have a hard time. There are ways, again, to kind of make things go slower. First of all, maybe you can call a court up and tell them, look, I think I need to talk to people to get some advice, you know, counseling. Let them think you're going to hire a lawyer or whatever, but don't say you're hiring a lawyer. And you could probably say, hey, can I put this off till next month? They might do that, okay? The other thing is learning real quick on how to move a case to federal court for cause. If you go under Education Starts Here and you come down to Law, and then you come over to court forms and process. We do give a brief description and information on how to move your case into federal court for cause. I'm pretty sure we do that. Let me see. Instruction forms for traffic court, instruction forms to challenge jurisdiction. And that's the first thing you got to do. What you need to do is go in there and challenge jurisdiction. Go to this page and go through all this information here. And make sure you write it up and serve it before you go. Make sure you bring extra copies because they'll probably say, oh, we didn't get that. So you make sure, well, I got extra copies. and challenge jurisdiction. And once jurisdiction is challenged, make sure you know, we get this information in this paperwork. So once jurisdiction is challenged, okay, jurisdiction must be proven. It must be heard. So they have to reschedule a case just to hear the jurisdiction. So that's where you start. And you're doing this to get time. And at the end of the day, they're going to deny you jurisdiction because the judge is going to decide, well, I got jurisdiction, so let's move on. That's enough of that. Let's go. Well, you see, that's when you have to have your papers ready for federal court.
And when you... What is a tribunal? The magistrate, we're the ones who give the orders, right? We're the ones who... We don't like the judge's decision. We can have writ of error, write up a writ of error, and basically
they've abrogated the writ of error. It doesn't exist no more. They've gotten rid of that under their rules. I mean, I have filed many writs of errors. They've ignored them, and my last time I filed a writ of error in a federal court, the judge says, that's gone. You know, the rules have abrogated that. You don't have that power and authority. That's a sovereign power, you know, but you don't have that no more. So they don't recognize it. It's not that you don't have it, because you really do have it, but they're just not recognizing it. They don't want to hear it. Again, you have to battle them in a different way. Denial of due process must be heard. And that proves that when they deny that due process and it's not heard, that gives you the power and the authority to move it into the federal court, and you start working up that line. And you're not going to get into any discussion concerning the case itself. The only thing that's going to be discussed in a federal court is, do they have the authority, the jurisdiction to hear the case? Your denial of due process, number one, is they refuse to hear. That in itself, in your wherefore clause, it should give you the ability to have that case thrown out of court by federal demand. You know, it would be a judgment on the federal level, and that case would be thrown out of court. That's number one. So that's a denial of due process to begin with, all right? And also, it's actually a jurisdiction that they don't have, and they denied the due process of at least a hearing, so that you can prove and show they don't have due process, they don't have a jurisdiction. They may have subject matter jurisdiction, but they certainly don't have personam jurisdiction. Okay, and that's your case. Right?
I basically have to file it. With federal court,
you want to file in that court. This gives you time by filing in a court to challenge of jurisdiction. This is found under education. Are you seeing what I'm doing? Are you on the? My desk?
On the computer, yes.
Okay, education starts here. You come down to law. Okay, then you come over to court forms and process. It'll bring you to this page. Here's the instructions and forms to challenge the jurisdiction. Okay, you know, you can alter this any way you want, but this is the general position and points. And then here, right underneath here, is the instructions and the forms to move your case to federal court for cause. And for cause means a denial of one of your rights, okay? Now, it doesn't mean you're going to win in federal courts, because, you know, if there's no skin in the game and maybe they'll rule for you. And not everybody, you know, again, I'm always going up against the status quo. But in your case, too, to some degree, that you're going up against the status quo, because you're going up against the establishment, you know. So it's going to be a battle.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a battle.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got to move to our next caller because it's getting late. But go through these things and... You come back and let us know next week what's going on, because, let's see, next Monday is what, the 30th, and Wednesday is the 1st, so the 2nd is on Thursday. So you have time to go put your papers, works together, and then come back and tell us about things, and make sure you file it. Make sure it gets there to the courts, to the judge, and to the quote-unquote prosecutor, okay? Make sure you serve it on them. Do it by registered mail. Get a signature. And And as a matter of fact, let me think about this. That should do it, but I mean, to really be safe, you use a sheriff to do the serving. In most places, of course, it's $30-$40, for serving it. But do that, and then you'll be prepared, because now when you go to court, they have to deal with this denial of due process, okay? I mean, with this jurisdictional challenge. And remember, a jurisdictional challenge, this is your argument in court if they try to push it ahead. You know, I decided I have jurisdiction. Well, I'm sorry, judge, and by the way, they're not even a judge. They're administrative judges. But in any event, I don't know what they are, but they call themselves administrative judges. In any event, they will make the decision that, I decided I got jurisdiction. Well, that's a violation of law, judge. Look, at the law is clear. It's in the paperwork, by the way. You can point to it. The law is very clear. Once jurisdiction and challenge, it must be heard. And you haven't heard the case, so you can't make a decision. Your decision is biased because I have given you everything from my position, and I've given you the law. I've shown you that you don't have jurisdiction, and the prosecutor did not, debate anything that I had to say. So the prosecutor acquiesced. So therefore, the only thing you have to rule on is what's on my paper, okay? An affidavit, controls the court, okay? And if they don't challenge the things in your affidavit, then that rules the court. Now, they'll probably put it off for 30 days and come back and make the argument, hopefully. But in any event, whether they try to move it on or whatever, you should be already at this point preparing papers for the federal court, if you can get in there, because again, it sounds like you may lack some knowledge, but you could figure it out,
I've already challenged jurisdiction with the rent board already. I sent them two bills already. They didn't respond, and I filed liens against the head of the rent board, the court of the rent board, the judge of the rent board, and this and that. That's why I think when I go to court,
When you denied jurisdiction, did you actually write a paper? Did you make your case on paper?
Yes, everything's on.
You laid it out very clear that there's no question. There's no question there that they lack jurisdiction in your paperwork. Number one, and there's no question that it has to be decided. Okay, you can't just come and say, because if the judge rules, that proves bias. You see, if the prosecutor doesn't file papers in opposition to your papers, then the judge is ruling just out of his own mind and not even considering the law that you've laid before him.
Like I said, I sent them two bills. None of them responded. I've filed liens.
They're not going to respond. Okay. They're not going to. They never do. Because then they default. That's the point. And that's how you can move it into federal court.
You'll win by moving
it to the next court.
You don't think I should even take it should I even file it in a second, you think?
Well, you can file it in an appeal. You can file it into the state court. Where you're at, you may want to go into the county court. The county court's going to rule against you. Then you can move it into the state court. The state court will rule against you. Then you can move it into the appellate court. The appellate court will rule against you. Then you can move it into the federal court, who doesn't hear the case at all. They don't need to know. They don't know. They don't want to know what the case is about. They just want to know the law. And so your position is the law is all about jurisdiction, so you have a chance to win in the federal court.
So, Penny, can I just file with the federal court next? Or
you can go directly to the federal court, or you can work yourself up the line. Maybe move your case into the next step, which is probably the county court, okay? And that'll give you 30 days, give you more time to learn, more time to read, more time to prepare, okay? And write a better paper, maybe. I don't know how good your paper is, but, when I look at my papers, when I first started this, I thought they were pretty good, but with hindsight now, with what I know, they wasn't very good at all. I missed a lot of things because I didn't have the knowledge, you know. I didn't do the schoolwork, so to speak. You know, I didn't do the research and the reading yet, you know, in the beginning, you know, and you're fumbling along trying to get through this process. But again, now once you spend more time in this, you get it. That's why a course is something that you definitely should take. Again, a 90-hour course, you know, you could do it pretty quickly. A couple of weeks, you can get the whole thing done. You know, I mean, you always go back and review. You make notes as you're going on along as the things you need. We teach people don't make notes in the class because we have all the notes you need. You just make bullet points along the way. Oh, I've got to remember this bullet point and where it's at, and because that's important for my case. So you just make a bullet point notes. That's it. Nothing more. And then you go back to your bullet point notes and you start to dig down deep into to get the knowledge of whatever it is that the bullet point notes that you are applying for. So anyway, with that, we got a lot of people in the queue. We got to move on, and we can talk some more next week if you want. All right?
Thank you.
Okay, looks like Sean, you got the mic. What state are you from? Shawn, is that Sean, right? You've been unmuted. Let's see, what does it say? Looks like hammer time too. You got the mic. Okay, going once, twice. Okay, we're going to move to the next caller. Big guy, you got the mic. What state you from?
North Dakota.
I haven't seen you in a while. How you doing?
Yeah, I haven't been on much. I've been just going crazy. I got so much stuff going. Been wanting to talk to you. But then I had something happen here this last week where my stepson was driving my vehicle, coming home from work, and he's new. He's a Philippine. He just got his license a couple of years ago, and so I don't let him drive back and forth to work with his mother's riding with him. And but anyway, he got a ticket for not having current tabs on it. I thought I'd put him on. I don't even pay any attention to it. It's not a vehicle I drive much. And anyway, the officer cited him for not having current tabs. And $20. Well, if I ignore it like I did before, it'll go on his record. So the young guy, 22 years old, and insurance premium is going to go up. And they call it a moving violation. Oh,
well,
my God.
Well, again.
Isn't there a place in there about dealing with our tickets, traffic tickets and that in the NLA site?
Yeah. Yeah, you'll find it here under Education Starts Here, same place I just showed the other guy. Education Starts Here, come down to Law. And then come over to court forms and process, and we do things for instructions and forms for traffic court, for instance. Okay, now here's what I would do if I were you. Okay, I would go into the court, and you know, you're going to get the opportunity to talk to the cop, the police officer, and if the police officer doesn't show up, then you move the court for dismissal. Okay, but if he does show up, you'll get the opportunity to go into the back room, sit down at a table, and talk with them. And they usually make a deal so that you don't get hurt with the insurance and stuff, because it just doesn't sound like a big deal. So I would do that to begin with. I'd pay the fine, and then if you want, then you can sue them. And that's if
well,
you
I
want
don't
to.
Want to be on his record. Yeah. I answered it last time. I paid the fine, and my insurance paid, went up.
Well, when you go in, when he goes in.
Why couldn't he just give the kid a warning? He doesn't own the vehicle. I do. It says on the registration card, passenger.
Listen. Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I understand that. But you got to understand. Look at these cops. They are trained to look for violations. They are trained to catch you in different things, to get you to talk to them, to get them you to agree to certain things, to say certain things. Before you know it, you got something else that they're looking at. And they're moving point to point to point. So you really got to be quiet at a traffic stop. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yeah, here's my license and registration. I don't give them a hard time, but let me finish my point. I'm going to tell you how to solve the problem.
North Dakota State Highway.
You're breaking up. But are you hearing me? Because you're breaking up. Are you hearing me? I'm going to give you a solution that should work. Okay. When he goes to court, you go to court with him. You go to court with him, okay? When they call him, and usually you'll have the opportunity when you go in, you talk to somebody, and you want to find out if the officer is there, okay? Because if the officer doesn't show up, then it's the law. You move the case to be thrown out. That's it, done, period, okay? So that's one opportunity that you might have if he doesn't show up. Sometimes these cops don't show up. Sometimes they don't show up and the people don't know, and they go before the judge and they make a decision. Maybe they, you know, they got a prosecutor, at least here in New York, you know, that in all these traffic courts now. They used to not have that, but they do now. So they'll try to do that. But the bottom line is that cop's got to be there, okay? And if people don't know that, they're not going to tell you. And they're going to find you guilty, and they're going to hit you whatever they want to hit. But anyway, if the cop is there, you'll have opportunity to go in and talk to him. You go in with him, and you tell him, hey, look, you know, this is my car. He shouldn't have got this ticket, blah, 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 blah. You know, and he's young. He's just got his license. Things are tough. You know, the cop, he's going to deal with you anyway. He'll make another charge that doesn't affect your license or insurance, okay? And what they really want is your money. That's what it's all about. They want your money. They want the kid back onto the road so they can stop him again and get more money. I mean, that may sound silly or crazy, but that's the facts. It's all about money. Do you know if these
other than what you just said about they want your money, my son had talked to another guy who didn't have, he was the owner of the vehicle. He didn't have plates. He didn't have current registration tabs. And something, oh, it didn't have insurance. And he just let him off with a warning. And
well, it was just the cop. It's a different attitude. But I'm going to tell you right now, okay. they are also trained to work a deal out with you. They want the money, okay? That's what they want. They want your money, okay? So you'll be able to work a deal out. But I'm going to tell you right now, you need to understand, if that cop does not show up, You move this court. I'm moving this court for a dismissal. He didn't show up. That's the law. Okay? And if they don't let you go, well, then you're going to come back the next time because they're not going to run through any kind of a summary judgment at that point, and they'll put you off for next month, and you'll have the opportunity to talk with the cop then. But that's what you could do. And then you can sue him if you want, so... After that.
This is a side note. I've been doing some research on this motor vehicle thing. Well, mm-hmm. I was carrying it in my car when I got arrested last summer. They wouldn't let me go to the paperwork, but they had to give me a warrant. I never did get a warrant. I never did get an affidavit. I was in jail for 4 days in Hennepin County, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Well, I'd be suing them for that.
Huh?
I'd be suing them for that.
Oh, I'm going to be contacting, but I need to know what all you need to know. We'll talk some other time. It'd be nice.
Well, I will tell you, if you don't know how to do it, and you want to do it, go to our front page, on the welcome page, and click on our course, Court Access in the Common Law course, and take that course, because you need to understand how the court system works. And you need to understand due process, how due process works and discovery, how to put papers together, what forms to use, how to move the court, how to make your collections. You need to learn all those things. You need to understand that court. Okay?
Well, if I were to get an attorney, and I was looking in the statute when I've been deprived, unlawfully deprived of my freedom, they didn't let me have access to call my attorney, which would have been you guys, and... they took my phone away from me, so I didn't have the number. And I said, I need my phone so I can get the number. No, we're not going to give it back to you. I never got it. Where's my warrant? Well, that's up in Fargo, North Dakota. They have it there. I said, why don't I have it? Why haven't you given it to me? Don't you have to give it to me? And they said, no. And then I asked for a personal recognizance being released on that. They wouldn't give me that either. And so what was the point in keeping me there? Well, apparently they make some money on extraditing.
Well, yeah, of course they do. And what was what was the quote-unquote crime?
It was supposedly for burglary under surreptitious conditions.
Oh, okay. That's the one with the garage door and putting the key in,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
I want to sue that land.
You could sue them all. Sue them all, but you got to learn how to do it. If you want to go give a lot of money to a lawyer and maybe lose it, or he takes all your money that you want to do.
I don't care. I just want to learn how to do it.
Well, I don't think you're going to. First of all, you're not going to get a lawyer to fight that case. You're not going to get one. Okay. Well, it doesn't matter. There's no lawyer's going to take that case on. You can go try, but I doubt you'll find a lawyer that'll take that case on.
Well,
because that takes the judge. That takes the lawyer to go up against the judge and the status quo. And they're not permitted to do that. They will lose their what they claim to be a license, their ability to make money in courts. They will lose that because they're not going to do it. Okay? They're not going to stand on the Constitution. They're not going to stand on the Bill of Rights, which is part of the Constitution. They're not going to stand on natural law, which is the law of the land. Okay? They're not going to go up against the status quo that you're going up against, the judge that puts you in jail. They're not going to go against that. You're up against the status quo. And the only way you're going to be able to take that case into court is to do it yourself. And to do it yourself, you need to have the knowledge that we teach in that 90-hour course. Or you can go to college and pay, you could take that part of the course. And here's where it's written up on the front page. To sign up for our comprehensive 90-hour law course on civil procedure from the common law perspective for $125. A college course on civil procedure is 5 credits. That's 50 to 60 class hours, costing about $2,600 per credit. So that's about $13,000. Covering litigation, rules, lawsuits, filings, pleadings, discovery, motions, trials, and appeals. Okay, that's what's covered in their course, and that's what's covered in our course, but we add the common law. Your heritage is in the law. Your inheritance is liberty. Okay, and our course is 90 hours. Instead of 60.
Well, I got a side question I have here from, it says, U.S. Supreme Court says no license necessary to drive automobile on public highways or streets.
Yeah, they don't
care. And there was Supreme Court, and I've got just dozens of court cases.
Yeah, first of all, those are old cases, and they try to say, the case is before a certain year, they don't apply no more. I mean, whatever this craziness, that means, all these great cases.
The Supreme Court one was 2017.
Well, that's pretty good. They're not going to adhere to that because it doesn't work in their system. They'll call that judge in their mind a rogue judge,
Because I was looking in that thing for being detained of my freedom without due cause, be put in jail. I wasn't even convicted of anything. It was just a charge. And supposedly, it was a malicious warrant is what it was.
All right, I got to move on because I got two other people. But consider taking the course. But you can also go to Education Start Here and you can get some information. A little information sometimes is dangerous, okay? Because, I put that information up there for details for people who already know the due process, okay? If you don't know the due process, there's a lot of you're not going to get through the system because, they're pretty wise and they're evil, and they're just going to beat you down and you're not going to know how to defend yourself. Okay, so you have to know how this stuff works and what you can use against them and prevent them from doing certain things.
Well, I found out too here in North Dakota the small claims court is $15,000.
They allow up to $16,000.
15. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, 15.
I got that from my.
I don't think that's correct. You better go check that out because I've never seen anything over $4,000 or $5,000, and usually that's in the cities.
Yeah, in Minneapolis or Minnesota.
In the towns, it's a lot.
I had a public defender, and he told me they'd raise it to $15,000. I mean, I can go find out real easily, but...
Well, you're not going to win in that court anyway. Not even a court of record.
Well, because I want to get her for robbing from me. She was stealing my...
Well, if you're going to go against that person, that person's outside the system, so you're not going up against the status quo. Okay.
For her negligence and things she's supposed to do if she didn't do so. I want to go... We'll talk about that some other time, but I guess...
I suggest you go take the course if you're going to go into courts, though. And with your son there, it's a slam dunk. You should be able to get through it. And if you can't work out a deal with the cop, which would be pretty darn rare, okay, But if you can't work a deal out, you know, hey, you know, he's just got his license, he's young, blah, 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 it's hard for him to live, he's barely living, he's trying to pay his insurance, his car, whatever, he needs to get a car, and it's my car, I'm the guy that, you know, and see what, you know, I think the cop's going to deal with you. I really do. Get it out of the way.
He's a busy guy. Every night I see him pulling, you know, I do Uber and Lyft, I see there's no traffic and he's pulling people over. For what? I don't know, but he's a jerk. But anyway,
well, that's because he's trying to go up the rankings, I guess. You know, he wants to be the number one guy in tickets, I guess. I don't know how they all work that. I never was a cop, so I don't know. But I do know that they have to have a quota to begin with. They require that. That should be unlawful, you know, and so on. And they teach these cops how to find all kinds of violations. That's why they get into a conversation with you, asking all kinds of questions. Where are you going? Where are you coming from? Eventually they squeeze something a little this and a little that, and you think it's friendly, and next thing you know, you say the wrong thing, and pop, you got another violation, you know? I got to go on. It's getting late.
I got a quick question. Would there be any value in me sending all this paper, all this court case stuff I had you to post on the next, on the NLA site, on, you know, ammunition, so to speak?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I have all these court cases. I've got dozens of them. And I got a picture of the Supreme Court saying you don't need a license on a public highway to permit you on your driver's license.
Yeah, I got all that. I got all that information. I've got pages.
Is that posted on the NLA site or somewhere else?
It probably is. And if it is, it's probably on the page I just showed you, the law page. And I don't know whether we have that in our course, you know, the list of all those things. But, yeah, that's something I know I do have, at least in my computer, if I don't have it online.
Well,
because
there is
a whole list of different cases that laid that out.
I'll read you. I just want to read you real quick. It's the last paragraph of the
make it quick, because I got two other people that's getting late.
Yep, it's their oath. It's just the last paragraph. The officer will uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States, the Constitution and laws of the state of North Dakota, and the laws of the community that the officer has been entrusted to enforce. The officer will not betray the officer's code of conduct, the trust of a fellow officer, and the trust of the public. And then it gives you all the court, you know, the...
Well, that's so contradictory, because he's applying the civil law, which has nothing to do with the Constitution, has nothing to do
with... Well, the judge that I had, he was kind of neat. He saw something in that affidavit, and I've heard you say, the judges don't do it, you have to know what you're looking for. But we had to watch a video, and then I got in front of a video, and he talked to me, and he read to me again, "You are innocent till proven beyond, innocent beyond a, guilty beyond a shadow of a doubt. Do you understand this?" Yeah, I do. And I told this to the public defendants. No, he didn't say that. They have a video. No, he personally was talking to me when he asked me about that. So it tells me he knew something. He saw something on there. It wasn't a wet signature. There was no affidavit. But when I asked for the dismissal, the attorney, he just wimped out and gave some little thing because it's some stupid thing. I wanted to get her for breach of contract and whatever. But anyway, that's it.
We got to go. Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, next caller. Ross, how you doing? You got the mic.
Hey, John Ross.
How you doing?
Good. I asked a question about what congressman did prior to the Ask AI a question is called what happen if two congressmen just doing congressional work for the people. And AI just said it's just to public bills instead of keeping them private.
All right, I'm not sure I understand the question. I know something about the congressman working for the people. What about it? What are you looking to... understand, or what's your question on that?
I was just getting a comment because I looked up the question on the AI, and the AI gave me an answer to the...
Oh, the AI. Okay. Yeah. Remember, the AI is a status quo responder, okay? Yeah, I mean, look, the AI could be really good. I hate them on phones. But if you're trying to do some research, learn certain things, you can get a lot, but you got to be careful because they give you status quo stuff. And so it, you know, they're giving you the fake stuff, the fiction, and not giving you the truth.
Yes, it says in the 1800s, a huge portion of congressmen's work was private bills, legislation for specific persons, etc., for bills of grants of pensions to the widows of the soldiers.
Well, look, congressmen, if you're talking about your U.S. congressmen, and and they were talking particularly the big focus back then, which they're legislators, they write law, and and on the U.S. level, of course, they are restricted, and they're restricted in the state too. Don't get me wrong, you know, they cannot write law to control our behavior. That's why traffic court is lacks due process and is unlawful. They don't have jurisdiction. They don't have personam jurisdiction over you. Any court that is operating with civil law, that's applying any kind of a written law by the Congress, legislative law, is no law at all for us, because they can't apply that to us. We are under the laws of nature and of nature's God. Legislative law is for, you know, the government agencies, the control of government agencies and the agents that work for them, and also commercial activities on the federal level, of course, interstate commercial activities. They have the authority to write law to control that, and that's important that they do write law to control that. That benefits the people, okay? And this is defined in the Constitution under Article 1, Section 8 and Section 9 lays this out, particularly Section 8, which gives them a certain amount of powers, but Section 9 applies to it also, okay? And a few other sentences here and there in the Constitution that apply to them also. But they're able to make all the laws necessary and proper for carrying out the execution of the foregoing powers, in other words. And the powers are 17 powers plus the power to make law, which I believe it's 18 powers altogether. But nowhere will you find them having any power to write any legislation to control our behavior. Okay?
Yeah. John?
Yep.
This is like, says this means the work of congressmen has shifted from lawmaking to casework.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That is the problem. You know, they are writing laws that affect the people and applying them upon the people. That's a denial of due process. You know, laws of men is a denial of due process. Okay? They have no power or authority. The only power or authority over people is the laws of nature and of nature's God. And that's the only thing they can apply. And that's why if you are arrested for a particular crime, they must go to the people. And it's called the grand jury. And they have to request an indictment on these charges. And the charges are not to be codes, you know, any kind of legislative codes, you know, statutes or any of those things. No, it has to be under the common law. You know, robbery, you know, obviously that's under the common law. They may make statutes on that, but that doesn't come into our courts. It shouldn't be coming in. You know, murder, assault, robbery, you know, anything that injures a person unlawfully, that violates an individual directly, okay, that's when it becomes a crime. And fraud is a crime. I mean, this is all natural law stuff. It's obvious, okay? So they have to bring that to the people and show the evidence and request for an indictment. And if they don't get an indictment, then they can't run the charges. So if they do get an indictment, the next step is the jury. You have to have a trial by jury, which brings us back to the people again. And the people have to decide the facts. They decide the law as they understand it, okay, which is the laws of nature and of nature's God. They know when someone has been injured. They live in the same world, in the same community you do also. And they know if a person has been injured or not. and they work that out and discuss it, and so they get to judge the facts, they get to judge the law of the land, natural law, and then they get to judge, and they've taken that away from them. They also get to decide the penalty, and the penalty usually is restitution. Okay, not necessarily a jail sentence, but they love the jail sentence because it's more money for more people involved, and they suck off the government getting more and more money, and then they take money from you, maybe they fine you, and even though they're putting you in jail, and when you come out, if you haven't paid off, you got to pay that debt off, and you're working for the government, pay that debt off, and it goes on and on and on. But meanwhile, the person that was actually injured, they get nothing. They bring them into court as a witness, to show that the crime applied upon them, and they say thank you very much, and they kick you out the door because now we're going to convict this guy and we're going to get there, put him in jail, we're going to make all this money on jail, and we're going to get fines, and we're going to do this, but we're not going to worry about the person who was injured. You see, that's not law, okay? That's their civil law, and that is a problem, okay?
Yes. Yeah, they used to do a bit of granting land to a citizen.
They used to do a what to a citizen?
They write a bill to grant grant land to a private citizen. They used to do that in the 1800s.
Did you say grant land?
Yes.
Okay.
They don't do that anymore because they give it to the administrative state to do it for them.
Well, I'm not too sure what you're talking about, but they, you know, but I do understand, you know, squatters and, you know, that still exists too in certain areas. I don't know. I never looked deep into that, but there's squatters' rights, you know. You can go to a place that nobody owns and a piece of property or whatever, and you squat on that land for a period of time, and then you can file for ownership. Now, I don't know how all that works, and I don't know if they will permit that anymore. I have heard some years back, not too many years back, people actually doing that, abandoned houses where they go and squat an abandoned house, live there for a year or a certain amount of time. They have to prove that they've been there for that time, and then they go and they file a claim on that abandoned house or property, or if a property that is not owned by anyone, you know. So again, I don't have much knowledge about it, but I do know that. I mean, that's how we built. By the way, we built America that way. We moved out west. And people would stake a claim on a piece of land, and that was it. They didn't buy it from anybody. They just staked the claim. Nobody owns it. We, the people, own it. Go get it. Take it. And that should never disappear as long as there's land out there. But go ahead.
But they changed it to a de facto property. That's why we can't own it without, we have to pay taxes on it to.
Right. Well, that now you're talking about something a little different, which I understand. They treat people who own homes as tenants, and you don't own it. And the proof that you don't own it is the fact that if you don't pay their yearly bill, they come and take your house away from you or your property away from you. And that is the proof. That's the proof in the pudding right there. You don't own that house. You never did. You don't own that land because they created a system to take it away from you. You know, Trump's trying to change that too.
That's called an administrative land deed.
Well, I got a better word for it. It's called the violation of the direct tax clause.
Yes.
They keep taxing you over and over and over and over and over. I mean, look, at they even try to tax, and I've seen this trying to be done. You know, if you go out and you have a garage sale, they've tried to even collect tax on the money that you collect, the few pennies you get on a garage sale. These people are insane. They don't stop. And that's why we need to take this court system back, and it starts at the Supreme Court. If we can get the Supreme, and I'll tell you what, with what we're doing, and if the people get involved, enough people, and there's enough focus on what's going on, and when our papers hit the doors of the United States Supreme Court, okay, they got to deal with that then if the people are watching, and also if the administration is watching with us and pressing the issue with us, Okay, they got to deal with that. And the fact of the matter is, they have to turn this nation back to the people. And, you know, we're going to set all that up in our wherefore clause. I don't know that we'll call it a wherefore clause. This is a presentment, but it's a type of a wherefore clause. We may use different verbiage for that. But nevertheless, we will tell them exactly what they need to do. And it'll be so obvious. It you know, obey the Constitution. Let's take a very simple one that's been beat to death for as long as I've been alive. The Second Amendment. The right to have a weapon, that right shall not be infringed. It's a very simple word, infringe. Anything that puts a block on you in any way, shape, or form is an infringement. So don't tell me I can't have a weapon. Don't tell me I can't have a lot of bullets. Don't tell me I can't, what kind of a weapon I can or cannot have. You don't have the authority to write law. You cannot infringe upon my right. And the purpose and the reason for people to have weapon is not just to go out and have target practice, or maybe even going hunting. The main purpose is to protect yourself from them. And they've proven that over and over again, that we need to be protected against them. Because they just don't stop. They keep taking, and destroying people's lives. We need to stop it, to fix it.
It's also the problem, they want us to have a carry permit to carry the gun. That's also prohibiting.
Well, of course it is. Yes, it is. That's an infringement. Look at... The only thing I agree with, okay, is to run a check, a background check on the individual. And that still can be done. I mean, look, we're in a world of electronics, the world of communications. All they have to do is run things through a computer and pop, they know right away. Anybody that has the licenses to sell weapons, okay, they should have access to access to whatever, you know, whatever they need, whatever sites they need to get information on an individual, whether there's a reason why this person should not have a weapon, you know, and if that comes up, then that person has the opportunity to take it to the judge locally and make the argument, and they have to hear the case, and maybe the judge will agree with them. Yeah, you're right, and go get a weapon, you know, and that's that. He'll give the order to the sheriff, I guess, and that would work out.
I couldn't get a gun.
Why not?
Vision impairment.
I don't know what your impairment is, so I couldn't comment much on that. But it's something, you know, you got to think about. If you think you're capable of getting a weapon and being good with it, I don't know.
You're safe with it, basically. What that means. I asked my eye doctor, and he said, no, because you have very poor vision.
Well, poor vision is not a good reason, okay? You can put on glasses. Poor vision is not a good reason. Look, I wear glasses, you know?
Yes, your glasses correct it back to 20/20 vision, probably. Mine don't.
Okay, that could be a problem. I don't know. And I never looked into that, but I can understand both sides of this problem. And obviously I can't make the decisions on that. But with that, I got to move on to our last. Okay, because we only we're over time, but we'll give this next person a couple of minutes. All right, Ross, good talking to you.
Okay.
Okay, let's take our next person. It looks like Aaron. That's your name. What's your state?
Tennessee.
Tennessee. Aaron from Tennessee. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, I never heard of you guys until I came across a video someone was advertising on TikTok. There's a video floating around it's a military tribunals.
Yep.
Document. It's a 15-page document, and I was just wanting to see it. And I don't know if it's behind closed doors, which means behind the paywall doors of your website, or if it's a public domain document that I can download.
Well, I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. If you can send us some links to go look at what you're talking about, because everything we have here is available to anyone. We have most of our courses are free of charge. We do have a couple of courses that we ask people to be premium members to, which is given $5 a month or more. If they're on such a limited income and they really can't afford that $5 a month, we'll let them get that access free anyway. But generally, everything we have out here has been free. We have a tremendous amount of information. Now, we do have a law course that helps to really support National Liberty Alliance.
Yeah.
So, and that's $125. But other than that, we only ask for $5 a month to support us to become a premier member. And we ask everyone to become a premier member. If you believe in what we're doing, we need your support. We can't operate without money. It's an unfortunate thing. And we can't go to the Supreme Court without money, you know. And so people need to, you know, send us some money in order to do the things we need to do to take back this republic. And
don't worry, I understand that. The document file name that they have on the browser is Zero File On Demand. That's all it says. And it's a doc file.
Okay, if you send us an email, send a mail to mail, M-A-I-L, just mail, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Send us the links and then bring this up again next Monday. We'll look at it and I'll talk about it. But we don't hide anything from anyone.
No, I understand that. I wasn't meaning it that way. I just didn't know.
But what I'm trying to say is, look, we're not out there to make money. We're not charged. We offer, and people need to know that. You know, there's a lot of places. I've been to sites where, you know, you get a little bit of information, but in order to get any, you know, to understand what the site is about, and so you have to join and become a member, okay? Usually not pay, but become a member. I don't want to become a member of anything until I know a little bit, until I know what's going on, what these people are about, what they're doing, and whether I need to be a member or not. And then when you get in, sometimes, you know, you find that they charge you for this and they charge you for that. You know, we don't do that because we have one focus in mind, and that is to save the republic. And we give everything that possibly we can for free. And so if there are documents, you should be able to get to pretty much any document on our site. With the exception, and I'll tell you what, even our law course, a lot of the stuff that's in our law course is spread throughout our site. You can get a lot of this stuff on our site. And you know, a lot of the forms and stuff, I mean, you can get the forms. You can Google forms and get all kinds of different forms. And forms is only a format of whatever the process is you're working for. Whatever you need to file a particular paper somewhere, it's called forms. And they kind of lay it out for you as a structure. But you do what you want with that. Take the form.
I build websites for a living, so I understand all that. I just didn't know if this particular document was behind a paywall. And I wasn't trying to accuse you or anything like that.
What's the name of the document?
It's all it says on the document. File name is zerofileondemand.doc. That's all it is.
Yeah, but what exactly is the document?
It's about the military tribunals. That's all it says.
Okay. Yeah, I don't. You'd have to send me a link, and then I can look to see what it is. But and it says it's on nationallibertyalliance.org.
Yeah. Yes, he mentions you guys specifically.
Okay. Well, then it's probably up somewheres, and you'd have to send me a link, and I'll try to find it. And if you come on next Monday, and you know, we'll hopefully we'll have it for you.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Thank you.
That was our last caller. Thanks, Aaron. Okay, Lord willing, we'll see you all next Monday. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.